Hello, Humphrey Littleton here, sitting under the tree with a pile of goodies specially selected for the bumper I'm sorry I haven't a clue Christmas hamper. My faithful assistant Samantha is alongside me as ever to help provide a touch of seasonal magic. And you know, it's quite surprising how many of this year's shows included references that resonate with cheery Yuletide goodwill. Not one. Still, every loyal Clue listener will imagine my excitement at the BBC's invitation to choose nothing but highlights from 12 programmes, and will understand my disbelief at their wanting a full 30 minutes. The team's travelled to many towns this year, and their first success was to fill the Assembly Rooms bath, simply by playing the Theatre Royal on the other side of town. We come now to a round called Musical Chairs. In this game, I shall be testing the teams with general knowledge questions on the subject of the chair. The winner will go on to the final to meet Gilly Goulden, who did surprisingly well when I tested her on the sofa. Right, Colin will start us off by playing some light music on the piano. The moment the music stops, the first to buzz gets the chance to answer a question. Okay, take it away, Colin. Anybody fancy buzzing?
I know.
I thought I did.
Oh, did you? Okay, Barry, we'll start off with an old English folk riddle. Riddle me, riddle me, riddle me re. I've got four legs, one back, and I'm made from a tree. What am I?
Robson and Jerome. Chair.
Yeah.
Robson and Jerome chair.
Yeah.
Get them in habitat.
All right. Okay, Colin, play some more music.
Repetition of the same music.
What can you get if you don't like stools in the kitchen?
Pooper scoop? Could it be a chair?
Oh. Nearly. You're nearly there.
Ah.
One more letter.
Chairs.
Yes.
A chairs.
Colin, are you meant to play the same tune every time? I mean, there are other tunes. Who was that?
Anybody when they've heard the question.
Okay, right. Traditionally, which member of a panel game is the wittiest and most respected?
Is there a chair called Nicholas Parsons? It was an electric one, I think.
You don't know, do you?
No. No idea. No,
it's the chair.
Oh!
Oh, God.
I'm detecting a theme.
Oh. I have to open my
chair.
Big mouth. What? How about this? In the olden days, how might the old and infirm people of Bath have been pushed around?
By teddy boys. Chair. Teddy boy's chair.
No, a bit more. I want a bit more than that.
Teddy boy's chair humph.
That'll do.
Bristol chair.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Our next game is called... The teams tried out several new rounds this year, including one called Uncommentators, where they reported on certain historical events in a fashion unusual even by their standards. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to provide a commentary on the charge of the Light Brigade in the style of Jeremy Paxman and Peter Snow.
Lord Cardigan, did you ever threaten to overrule the... Have you ever threatened to overrule the order to charge?
Let me be perfectly clear about this. The order to charge went ahead.
Did you ever threaten to overrule the order to charge?
No, clearly, I didn't overrule the order.
Let me put it this way. Did you threaten to overrule the order to charge?
No, see, this is an operational matter. Nothing to do with me.
Come on. Over to Peter Snow.
Well, here we are, what we call the Valley of Death, just with a bit of fun, Over here, haven't got much time, come on. Over here, the Light Brigade, over there, the Russian guns, and here they come, half a league, on, just a little bit of fun. Cannons right there, you can see the cannons to the left there, and off go the cannons, boom, yippee. And if that result, oh dear me, if that result is repeated right across the battlefield, we're going to see not 600, not 500, not 400, look, they're all going red. Oh, it's going to be a massacre.
Lord Cardigan.
Oh, no.
Right, now, Tim and Stephen, I'd like you to provide a commentary on the assassination of Julius Caesar in the style of cricket commentators.
It's Cassius running in from the Senate House end there. What do you think of it so far, Fred?
I don't know what's going off, I really don't. In my day, it were all Greek to me.
It's a good crowd here this morning. A bank holiday, of course, the Ides of March. All the banks of the Tiber are closed. That's a pretty good delivery there. I think it was only a leg cutter, though. But there's an appeal. Big shout. What do you reckon?
That's not out. He were never out. It was always missing leg, Stumpy. He's got to bung it in. He's come to bury Caesar, not to graze him.
It's a change of attack from Brutus now. Casca is going to be running in from the forum end, having a stab there. Oh, he's knocked the umpire over. Oh, the umpire's back up again. It was the fall and rise of the Roman umpire. He's a pretty good choice, actually. He can move it about. He swings both ways.
I believe there was a rumour of gold tampering behind the pavilions.
Oh, that's a better one. And he's out. He's out. The finger's gone up. He's out. The finger is up. The finger's definitely up.
Oh, yes. He doesn't like that, certainly.
Yeah, he's very, very cut up about that one. I believe the next man in is Mark Antony.
Not a chance. He's stone deaf, is Mark Antony. He'll be run out. He won't be able to hear his partner.
Unless some friend, Roman or countryman, lends him their ears, of course. That's it from us. Let's have just time for a slice of cake. I've had one. Have you had one, Fred?
Yes, I've had two, Brucey.
Amongst the many pointless games played by the teams, few can match sound charades for its near total lack of purpose, as Barry and Graham so expertly demonstrated with their cryptic rendition of the Railway Children. By the way, this clip comes with a warning. It may offend listeners of a Scottish disposition.
Hello, Angus. I see you've got your family with you.
Hamish brought the bairns.
Oh.
He's wee Victoria.
Oh, hello.
Hello to Uncle Hamish. And and there's wee Euston.
Oh. I think I've met this wee soul.
Oh,
Paddington,
yes,
I think yes. I recognise him.
King's Cross and Liverpool Street are at home just now.
Oh, I did hear something about your good lady was expecting.
Oh, aye, that's true. She's 20 minutes overdue. Oh,
We come now to a game called invitation cards. Nowadays, it seems, it's become obligatory when organising a society do to ensure the right celebrity guest is in attendance. For example, if you're thinking of putting on a seven-course banquet, you might request the presence of the Duchess of York, who will always drop everything for a good bash on a groaning table. Whatever the type of evening, specially printed invitations are de rigueur. So, teams, I'd like you please to suggest invitation cards to suit particular society events. Barry, will you start, please?
The Larder Drivers Club. The invitations for the do said 7:30 for 11.
The Society of Knee Surgeons have asked me to their dinner. Cartilage is at 11.
The committee of the Agoraphobic Society will be at home.
You're invited to the psychic's ball. You know where, you know when, and we know you're coming.
I've got one here from the Legalise Cannabis Campaign's annual dinner dance. Please arrive promptly at... Oh, hang on, the edge of the card's been torn off.
Friends of Michael Howard evening, could the two of you arrive about 7?
Two of you?
Bit of hyperbole there.
Everybody here is invited to the International Institute of Lethargy and Procrastination's Banquet Cabaret Dancing Till Dawn, August the 17th, 1982.
The Cannibal Society invites you to a finger buffet at 8.
It's funny they don't hold a ball.
Yeah. if you're late, they keep an eye out open for you.
Michael Jackson's birthday party, 7 to 8, but older children by arrangement.
And the Fighter Squadron reunion, 7:30 for 8, bandits at 12 o'clock.
You are invited to the Today programme ball, RSVP. Are you coming? It's a fairly simple question.
Oh, this is a good cause, the hemorrhoid sufferer's dinner. Well, actually, it's a stand-up buffet. Toast is absent enemas.
And there's the Bookies Union, big day out at the Gold Cup Steakhouse. Afternoon tea, 5 to 4, disco dancing.
If anyone is wondering how we managed to have two different guests in that last round, I can explain that we played the invitations game twice. Why it got a second airing, I can't explain, it just did. And while we're in irrational explanation mode, here's Colin Sell, but for one glorious occasion, without his piano. It's time now for a self-explanatory new round entitled Dummy Keyboard. The keyboard part of the title derives from the fact that Colin Sell will be playing tunes on his keyboard. And the dummy part derives from the fact that Colin Sell will be playing tunes on his keyboard. The difference is that no piano keys are involved. Barry and Graham, Colin will now tap out a well-known tune, and I'd like you to tell me what tune he's playing. Colin, off you go.
You'll go deaf, Colin, if you don't stop. Norwegian wood?
20 tiny fingers.
No.
God, he talks.
Sounded like Stevie Wonder looking for the piano.
Wasn't you?
Was it one of your own? One of your own compositions, was it, Carl?
No.
Listen, like I'll say no. You just nod or shake your head.
Colin, one knock for yes, two knocks for no.
Wasn't a trick question. You weren't playing the flute, were you?
No.
I'm baffled on this one.
Yeah, it's very hard. Not the minute waltz, was it?
Oh. Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yes. Well, that one was obviously much too easy, so we'll make it a bit harder for you this time, Tim and Tony. Colin will tap out something for you to identify on a different keyboard. Off you go, Colin. There you are, Tim and Tony. Now, can you identify the novel that Colin was typing?
I heard a lot of Z's there. Could it be The Big Sleep?
No.
No, right.
I think he typed in the word Mellors and the word bottom. So, Lady Chatterley's Lover, I think it may have been.
Sorry.
Or a book called Mellors Bottom, who knows?
I don't think so.
Can we just hear the last bit again?
All right, here.
That's enough.
A Brief History of Time.
No, I don't think so.
I give up.
Roger's Thesaurus.
We can't give you the answer because Colin Sell accidentally pressed the delete key. ...1997 was a unique season, since for two shows, Colin Sell found himself double-booked. Soon after, we moved our recordings to coincide with his other work, in fact. But every silver lining has a cloud, as Colin's stunt double Neil Innes discovered to his cost in the regular pick-up song round, where panellists try to keep in time with certain popular discs. We start with Tim Brooke-Taylor, proving once again just how close he is to the cutting edge of popular musical culture. Several hundred miles, by my estimation. Your turn, Tim. Will you please accompany Shaggy singing Mr. Boombastic?
Mr. Boombastic! We want some boombastic, romantic, fantastic lover.
Shaggy!
Mr. Lover-Lover. Mr. Lover-Lover.
Ha, girl. Mr. Lover-Lover. Mr. Lover-Lover. She called me Mr. Bombastic, say me fantastic, touch me on the back, say I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic, touch me on the back, she said I'm Mr. Smooth, just like a silk, soft and cuddly. Hug me up like a quilt, I'm a lyrical lover. Take me there, with my sexual physique, you know me well, better me, oh my, well, well, can't you tell? I'm just a
Now, Neil, I'd like you to finish by accompanying yourself singing I'm the Urban Spaceman.
Spaceman, baby, I've got speed. I've got everything I need.
I think it's a bit high. I think I'll speak it. Spaceman, baby, I can fly. I'm a supersonic guy. I don't need pleasure. I don't feel pain. If you were to knock me down, I'd just get up again. 'Cause I'm the urban spaceman, babe, and I'm making out. I'm all about.
OK, we have time now for a special round called Celebrity What's My Line. It's based on the erstwhile TV panel game where contestants had to guess a person's occupation by asking questions to which he or she could answer only yes or no. For example, if the answers to three questions, are you a great conversationalist, are you good at geography, and have you ever taken a driving test, were all no, then the guest was obviously a minicab driver. Anyway, in our version of the game, I'll be asking the teams to guess the occupation of a mystery celebrity guest. So, will you please welcome tonight's mystery celebrity, Dame Judi Dench. Welcome, Dame Judi, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Before I ask the teams to guess precisely what it is you do for a living, perhaps we can help. Perhaps we can help them a bit by finding out a little bit about you. So, have you come far?
Yes, I've come halfway across the world to be here tonight.
What was the weather like?
I didn't notice.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yes.
And what's your star sign?
Sagittarius.
OK, well, I'll shortly be asking Dame Judi to perform a short mime of her occupation. But before I do, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Dame Judi is an actress. Dame Judi is an actress.
Now, Dame Judi, if you care to start your mime, please. If you'd start your mime now, please.
Oh, careful.
Oh, dear.
She left somebody's eye out.
Incredibly flexible, yeah. Isn't she?
Okay, Tim and Sandy, you can start questioning now.
Well, Sandy, you better ask, as you're from the same part of the world.
Sorry?
Dame Judi.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, sorry. Fishing, herring, pastries, I'm thinking. Very much in the right area. Are you Scandinavian?
No.
Right. Can anyone do this?
No.
Ah, over to you, Graham and Barry.
Yes, it's not Dane, it's Dame, isn't
oh.
it?
Oh, Dame. Sorry.
Well, maybe
I feel a fool now.
Yeah.
Maybe the way the a hump clue in that. Are you closely associated with pantomime?
No.
Have you ever slept with anyone famous?
I prefer not to answer that.
Speaking of panto, I'm at Windsor this year.
Yes, but he's on his own.
Is that your own hair?
What there is of it.
What are we getting
steeplejack?
Here to... No. Just looking at you, I'm thinking athletics. Am athletics. I in the right area?
No.
Barry and Graham?
I can't help thinking that pantomime was sort of...
I think you're homing in on it.
Do you work at all in the theatre?
Ah.
Yes.
Is that before or after the show?
Is this anything to do with ice cream?
It's everything to do with ice cream.
God, it's tricky, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Have we had 20 questions yet?
Humph.
What?
This is your alarm call.
Nobody said anything about 20 questions. That's a different, game altogether.
Something to do with your... I'm trying to get think about your seniority at work. If you were in a group situation at work...
Are you talking to me?
No, John. No, I never address you directly, Humphrey. If you were in a group situation at work, do you tend to command respect from your co-workers, or do they just let you bang on till it's their turn?
Let you bang on till it's their turn.
Oh, you're an actress.
You know, we've been ending I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue with the team's announcements at various society balls for so long now that it's difficult to imagine a programme without them. But if you concentrate very hard, it is possible, I promise. Well, it's nearly time to end the show, but there's just time for a round called the Builder's Ball. Incidentally, Samantha's just returned from congratulating a local builder friend who successfully bid for a contract this week. She says she was delighted to see his little firm won. Teams, I'd like you please to announce the late arrivals at a society ball for builders and the like. Graham, will you start, please?
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Cotter Tiling. Well, their son, Terry Cotter Tiling.
Mr. and Mrs. Sclevage. And their daughter, Jean's Cleavage.
Mr. and Mrs. Wall Carpeting. And their son, Walter Wall Carpeting.
Welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Be back to finish the job on Thursday, Honest Gov, and their daughter, Isla.
Closely followed by Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, that's twice the estimate, and their son, Gordon Bennett, that's twice the estimate.
Mr. and Mrs. Lottle Afterby Repented. And their son, Theo Lottle Afterby Repented.
And all the way from Ireland.
Ah, welcome.
Brendan Beam and James Joyce.
And also Concrete and Mixer.
And their friends, Mr. and Mrs. O'Doors and their son, Paddy O'Doors.
It's high society entrance now. We welcome the noble group. It's Lady Foundations first, and then Lord Watermass. And then that ubiquitous Royal Libertine, Filthy Prince Everywhere. And finally, of course, Count the Cost Later and Baron Bank Account.
It's cabaret time.
No, it isn't.
Introduced by Roy Hodd. The Pointer Sisters. And a special item, Wagner's Damn the Guttering.
There's the Mendes family with Rhoda Mendes. She digs having her ass felt.
And will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. King Good?
Wait for it.
And their daughter, May Kingood.
Mr. and Mrs. Chance of a Cup of Tea. And their son, Henny Chance of a Cup of Tea.
Mr. and Mrs. Four Sugars in Mine Love, and their daughter, Olive Four Sugars in Mine Love.
Well, that really is all the time available for this compilation, marking the end of yet another I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue year. If you've enjoyed hearing our programmes as much as we've enjoyed making them, then I can only apologise most sincerely. Meanwhile, on behalf of Samantha, the teams and all our lovely guests, this is me, Humphrey Littleton, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.